You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
This is a Crowd podcast.
Hello, Deck.
Hello, George. Happy Sunday. Happy Monday. How are you?
It's Monday now,
it
buddy.
Is Monday,
how are you?
Sorry, of course.
It's Monday.
I'm good now. I realise what day of the week it is. I think maybe it couldn't be better. Although it is April.
Did you run the London Marathon?
No. I haven't ran more than 2 yards since that half marathon. That's what I always do. But well done to everyone who did. They got good conditions for it though, because it's been chilly, isn't it, for the end of April. It's not that warm, and if you're running a marathon, you want like, what was it, about 10 degrees today, no rain, just yeah it's pretty perfect really.
Was it favorable winds?
Yeah I don't think
could you get like in sprinting, I know that like some world records might not stand without favourable wind. Yeah. Would that count for a marathon?
Yes. Yeah, so
can you
long.
Imagine you run the world record marathon time, and then they go, actually, sorry, at mile 17, you had a bit of a tailwind for 30 yards. Doesn't count.
Doesn't count. No, I didn't. No, lovely weekend. I mean, I spent most of Sunday recovering because I felt shell shocked after what I watched. From the Barclays Centre in Brooklyn, George, which is what we're going to talk about for the majority of this show, because this was a fight, one of those unforgettable, dramatic, unbelievable fights that we've seen for many a year.
Did you do the hardcore fan ting and get up and watch it live?
I stayed up.
Stayed up?
I stayed up.
It's a young man's game.
I know, I had been out.
You're trying to keep up with the Garcia YouTubers.
I'd been out, so it was perfect. It was one of them where you get in and it's like, oh, hold on. Although I did think because it was New York, it might be a bit early, and it wasn't. It was proper late still. But yeah, I was up anyway. And what a fight to be up for. So we're talking Brooklyn, Barclays Center. We're talking Ryan Garcia, written off by almost everyone, wins a majority decision against Devin Haney, who gets dropped 3 times in the fight. Ryan Garcia deducted a point in the 7th for hitting on the break. Just one of those dramatic nights where you just can't quite believe what's unfolding. I was so convinced that Devin Haney was going to cruise his way to a points winner against a Ryan Garcia who's exhibited these strange sort of outbursts over the whole course of this camp. So much so that at points we thought, is this fight even going to happen? But it did. Mm. And not only did it happen, is that was, you know, that fight was the making of him, Ryan Garcia. I thought it was amazing, George. What do you think of the fight? What do you think of the performance?
Well, so I want to get into it with you, Deck. So you watched it live. Mm-hmm. Every moment is new to you.
Yeah.
I woke up, didn't get up for it, woke up, thought to myself, don't do it.
Don't check.
Did it.
Oh.
Check the result. And was like, ooh, Garcia won. Let me watch this. Now, I've watched it. There's a lot of controversy within it.
Yeah.
To start with, Garcia gets on the scales. Is it 3 pounds, 3.5 pounds over with a beer in his hand?
Yeah. He was 143.25 pounds. Although, just to point out, that one where he's got the beer in his hand and whatnot and his clothes on, that's a ceremonial weigh-in. So they do the official weigh-in earlier in the day. They get the official weights. And then later on in the day when they've rehydrated and refueled and whatever, then they do the ceremonial one. So, yeah, he wasn't actually weighing him with a beer, but
I never got one of them ceremonial weigh-ins. And I did think that's a shame because there's something a little bit more Nazi about that, because that beer has cost him about $500,000. Yeah. If it's put 0.5 on him, as he's got on there, you're thinking that beer brand definitely wants to be covering them costs. Yeah, That's good PR.
I'm not a fan of the ceremonial weigh-in. I like when the boxers have obviously just done a mad cut and they're absolutely like they're at the end of their tether, and then they're faced with the man they're about to fight, and then like it's just that primal thing. And then if they go away and they have some food and they hang around for a bit and they have some drink and then they come for the actual weigh-in, the whole energy is different. But anyway, that seems to be what they do nowadays. But at the actual weigh-in, Ryan Garcia 3.25 pounds over, so the belt not on the line for him.
Was he allowed to cut that weight, or did he just decide
I just think he said no, because you would think if he's 3.25 over, it sounds to me, you have a better idea, but it sounds to me he hasn't really bothered to cut. I'm not sure if he's got down to the bottom and he couldn't shift the last 3.25, or he was just like, I ain't doing the last bit. But for every pound he had to pay Devin Haney $500,000, so he had to, Devin Haney got 1.5 million extra from Ryan Garcia's pocket for that missing of weight, which is expensive, £3.
If that was the difference between him winning, winning and losing, it's a very good investment.
Do you think it could have been that? Because Haney's killed himself to make the weight. He looked terrible on the scales. Like, even bear in mind, he was a lightweight for ages and he's come up even at this new weight. He looked like, yeah, he looked like he'd had a heavy cut.
Yeah, I thought that. I thought, like, there's clips of him throughout, obviously, camp, but then he kept cutting to this one clip where it looked like it was his dad. Yeah. And that's what fighters do.
Yeah.
It looks like they've got, like, it's you. Oh, it's your dad. You're the spitting image of your dad. You look 20 years older. No. I'm just, like, 20% lighter from a weight cut. We're getting to the fight deck, but I want to talk about the scorecards, right? Okay. Because at some point in the very near future, we got to get in and do an episode on scorecards, maybe judging. How do you judge it? Because one judge, Max DeLuca, had it a draw, 112-112. Eric Malinsky, am I saying that right?
Malinsky.
Yeah, 114-110, and Robin Taylor 115-109. So that's a huge, huge difference for me, like, between the scorecards. I went down one route. Should we talk about how we scored
it? Did you score it? No, I didn't score it. I didn't score it round by round. To be honest with you, I was gonna. But then when that first round started, and I think it's the first round, I hit him with the left hook, really wobbles him. I was just so caught up in it. I'm like, I don't need to score this. I just want to enjoy it. So, no, I had an idea of who I thought it won, and it was Ryan Garcia, but I can't give you a scorecard right now. Mm. But what did you do?
When I scored it round by round, I had it a draw. And that's giving Garcia the last round, which, you know, it wasn't an awful lot in the last round, and Garcia sort of gets on his bike, does, like, the wobbly legs sort of showboating and stuff like that. So he might nick the round, maybe not. The show that I watched was the American feed with the American commentators, who I think they were kind of biased in Garcia's favour. Mm. I mean, I can't remember who. I think it might be Sergio Mora or something. He just keeps talking about the right hand. And I'm like, stop trying to prove your point with the right hand. He hasn't landed a right hand all night. It's the left hook. Mm. He goes down three times, Haney, from three left hooks from Ryan Garcia. We know Garcia hits him with the left hook.
Yeah.
Signature punch. And he comes out and he does him, doesn't he, with it in the very first round. And you're like, ooh, you know, how's Haney slept on that? Like, Haney's hand position was terrible.
Yeah, and his chin
for a guy so well schooled, exactly. The right hand, he lets it drift in front of his chin and down. When left hooker, like, that should have been just glued to the side of his face all night long. It doesn't matter how hard that left hook is. It's not going to have nowhere near the same effect if it's got to get through a glove before it hits the chin, you know? So I don't know why they didn't have that right hand up. I mean, at times he could have had both hands up and just been a little bit safer, especially when Garcia jumps on you and he wants to let his hands go. He shapes up really well, Garcia, but it's night and day in terms of ability between Devin Haney and Ryan Garcia. Garcia's great athlete in that he can punch really fast and he can definitely punch really hard. And obviously when he's cheated the weight and he's fucking massive, he punches hard and he's probably a bit hard of a unit and a better chin and punch resistance and everything else. But he was doing this weird pull away defense, you know, and as I say, the commentators that I would get in was, they kept talking about Derek James not happy with the shoulder roll and Garcia insisted he needs to have a shoulder roll. It wasn't really a shoulder roll. It was more of like an amateur imitation of like a Floyd Mayweather sort of low left hand shoulder guard where he's pulling down and away. Haney ends up almost hitting him in the back. I thought Haney was pretty correct with that. He wouldn't have been upset and he wouldn't have got any complaints if he just whacked one straight in the spine, one in the back of the neck when you're showing that much of the back of the head. But he can whack Carney Garcia when he hits sharp. It went to Haney's boots. And it's like, is it because Haney now looks like a bit of a huge specimen for the weight and has cut and made the weight and that's took, you know, a bit of punch resistance off him and Garcia hasn't? Because Haney comes back in that second round. I think the first round, Garcia catches him early, sort of knocks him off balance. He ain't woke up into the fight yet. But come the second round, either the second or third, he lands a really good right hand over the top, like a long, loopy right hand that looks, and it looks like it hurts Garcia a bit, or Garcia. But Garcia doesn't show them same things. He isn't one of them fighters who, if he does get caught, he doesn't really show it. Maybe that makes him look not as vulnerable. And maybe that's why when he gets, you know, when he got stopped against Tank Davis, you're like, oh, you could have got up. But actually, it's just his face just doesn't look like he's grimaced and bent up in as much pain as he actually is. But it must have been an amazing fight to watch live, Deck. Exciting fight. When Haney hits the deck in the 10th round, what are you thinking? At this point, are you thinking Garcia's got to finish him? Or what? That just means Garcia can't lose.
Yeah, I thought, you know what? The first round when he hit him with that hook, I thought, he's going to get him here. And it's going to be one of those early blow-ups. But then the way that he carried on applying the pressure. I thought Haney was good, though, at the point. It was not like you said, you scored it a draw and it was only a majority decision. He wasn't the controlled sort of, you know, that kind of that guy who can suck all the energy out of his opponent, all the energy out of the moment and just sort of dictate it. It wasn't like that. Garcia was able to dictate at times. Yeah, and every time he drops him, like, they're big knockdowns as well. They're not just like flash ones. I think it was the second one where he's sort of in the corner a bit. But every time people are saying, you know, Haney's chinny or he's never had his chin tested, I would suggest the fact that he got dropped by these shots but then got back up, like, and boxed on until the end, I think he showed he's got a good chin, actually. Like, they're big shots, and it's the speed of Garcia, isn't it? It's the hook, the speed of that hook, and it's powerful, and it's obviously from an overweight opponent that makes it just that double hard for him. But yeah, I thought, I don't know, I was expecting Garcia to unravel at some point. Like, I thought he was going to get DQ'd. I thought that was what was going to happen. He was just going to do something weird. Like, he's been going so bananas in the build up to this fight that I thought he was going to unravel. And there were times when it looked like he was going to. And it was that little element of craziness, actually, that just gave him the energy. And I think it was the 11th round, was it, when Derek James has to, like, sit him down and, like, shut him up, like, sit him in the corner. Because he just looks like he's losing the plot a bit. He looks like he's won the fight and he's sort of celebrating already. And Derek James is just like, no, you got to fucking focus now. Like, this fight's not won. And it's like, Garcia needed that. He needed that old head, that super cool, composed character. No matter how mad it's been for Garcia over the last 6 months, it's just like, he's got this man, like, he's got the man in his ear going, no, this is what you have to do. Just nice and quietly, this is the score. And yeah, I mean, honestly, like, at live real time at like 5 a.m. I couldn't quite believe what I was watching.
I thought that Garcia hits him with that left hook in the first round and Haney thinks, fuck,
oh shit, like, yeah, I never shit. Expected this.
Yeah, he gets hit hard, it hurts, he's fucking dazed, he's like, wow, this is the first exchange in the first round, what the fuck am I gonna do about this, you know? And I mean, that's horrible, isn't it? Imagine you're in there with some monster who's an absolute, you know, lunatic in a build up. He just keeps he's done your head in as well as being full on crazy. And now he just whack. You think he's going to unravel, and yet no, he might actually ice me. And yeah, still picking holes in both fighters because we're allowed to. But yeah, Haney made a couple of mistakes even after that. Yeah. You know, as I say, he left that left hook there to be caught. You know, Garcia just most of the time will lead with it because he's so fast with it. So just make sure that hand's there. It's not like he set a trap for it, unless it's, you know, I haven't seen it on the cameras. But yeah, I felt like Haney had thought, "Fuck, I've been that's hard. That's heavy. That's hard. I do not." And then that almost put him in that mind frame of panic for a lot of the fight.
Yeah, and he can't quite claw it back from that.
Yeah, because he catches him with loads of like lovely like. The left hook just looks beautiful from Nevin Haney. You know, sometimes he'll cut out to the left and then fire it up. Sometimes it just comes out, whips really fast. Like, if you were trying to study it and break it down and go, whose left hook do I want? Sometimes you'd be looking at it going, it's Haney. But then when you look at the end result, you're like, well, surely it's got to be Garcia, yeah, isn't it? Like, yeah. And what is that? Why does his hook have that effect? But he does really well. I think, obviously, it's the... I think it's the knockdown in the 10th, which I think is quite early. It might have been the first one, actually, the 7th round. It was early on in the round, and, like, he does not get his legs back under him, for the entire rest of the round. So that's a long old two-plus minutes. He has to survive. Haney's father in the corner, just trying to get his man back.
Yeah.
Because... Yeah, you know, you don't know. Garcia is quite an unpredictable character, isn't he? You don't know whether he's gassed and he now needs to have the next round off, or whether he's not. And rather than setting it up correctly, he might just go, right, I'm just gonna let my hands go again, because that's what's successful. So you wouldn't back against that. But great fight.
Yeah, I was going to say, you touched on something there about Ryan Garcia being unpredictable, and I wondered what you thought. Or how much of an effect you think the Garcia antics of the whole build-up. And he basically has claimed last night in a roundabout way that he was trolling. He was doing it. It was all an act. And he was just trying to get in his head. The old Muhammad Ali act of, like, if he thinks I'm crazy, he's going to be unsettled and he won't know how to handle it. One, do you think that's true? Do you think this was just the biggest and most perfectly curated work of trolling we've ever seen in boxing? Or do you think he has actually, like, that he has exhibited some kind of mental issues, like legitimate ones? Or do you think it was all an act to get in Haney's head? And then the final part of that question, did that work? Was that the key to this win, and was that why Haney couldn't quite kind of figure him out?
I think only Ryan Garcia knows whether he's trolling or not.
Yeah.
And the flip side would be, if he is just trolling, is that really a good look? I mean, I'm not going to go into specifics about what he said in the build-up to this, but what he said to me surely can't be trolling. And if it is trolling, then he needs to be put a stop to that, because he says some crazy, horrific things that, if they're true, let's hopefully they can get to the bottom of him, and he will certainly need some therapy for it, I'm sure. But if not, then where is the world of boxing going? Did it have an effect on the fight? I think that first left hook that Haney takes in that first round had the bearing of the fight, like, had him shook up. So whether he wasn't quite switched on for that very first second because of what he thought Ryan Garcia was, maybe, but I think he caught him early, Deck. He hurt him early, and Haney's thinking, fuck, this bastard, he's failed to wait. He can whack, and he's fast. You know, I didn't see that coming. And I think from there on in, it's not so much Haney changes his tactics, but, you know, he's got to be wary of that. And Garcia was good with that left hook. Was when he did fight in the burst, he was good, and he had an effect, didn't he? Because he hurt Haney. What do you think? Do you think he had an effect?
I don't know. I think it's one of them where Haney, I'm sure you've seen that clip where Garcia's dressed in white and he's like singing, you know, and he's doing this thing, and then it cuts to Haney and Haney goes, I don't think Ryan Garcia's taking this fight seriously. Like, I don't know if it had an effect on the fight night. Like, I think the factors you've said are probably the more important ones, but can you imagine going into a camp like that and just in the back of your head, no matter how professional you are, in the back of your head, you're thinking, this guy's never making fight night. Like, this fight's not happening. Like, he can barely, like, he's already admitted that he's been, like, smoking weed and he's admitted he's drinking and stuff. Like, this fight's not happening. Though he would still be going to the gym, still be diligent, et cetera, et cetera. That has to be quite hard to wrestle with. Harder than when you go, right, my opponent is going to be the best he's ever been. He's so on it. I need to be razor sharp because this fight's happening. I need to bring my A game. Maybe he just thought, like the rest of us, this bloke, if he's not focused. And if he's not focused, he can't beat me. So on the fight night, does it have an effect? I don't know. I think it's more what you said, that maybe it was a rude awakening that first round and he did think this should be plain sailing if I can just keep it tight, and then he doesn't keep it tight and he's like, shit, this is not going to be plain sailing anymore. So yeah, I think mind games, I think there was a bit of trolling in there. I think the idea of him saying, haha, you know, got you all, is obviously bollocks, because there's obviously stuff going on there that, you know, that has spilled out into public. I must say,
do you reckon he was just trying to wind up Oscar De La Hoya?
Definitely a bit of that. He wants to wind up everyone. Definitely wants to wind up...
No, but just Oscar just De La Hoya. That's yeah. So De La Hoya goes, hey, I didn't... He goes, I got you.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I think he's susceptible to a prank or two. Has he ever been punked, De La Hoya?
Not officially, not by Ashton Kutcher.
No?
Maybe.
It don't count. No.
I must say, without wanting to sound like a bore, I found some of the build-up very unsavoury and kind of crass and like needless, especially for a fight of this magnitude with two of the biggest names. And like, obviously Ryan Garcia has this huge following and there'll be a lot of young eyes on it. Like Bill Haney saying, we're going in there to kill him. Like, there's one thing when a fighter says it and when they're like, you know, like fired up or whatever, but when they're the trainer and the dad who's sending his son in is saying, my son's going in there to kill him, is just like obscene. Like, you should, that is so wrong. So that's not cool. The final presser was like just hard to watch when Garcia's like having an altercation with someone in the crowd. And I'm not going to go into what was said, but it's just like, boys, like, come on. This is not good. Like, this is not, you look, this is mortifying for you. Like, what the fuck are you doing? So, this should have been a fight that was like the pinnacle and the epitome of like what is great about boxing. Actually, on the night, I feel it was a classic. But in the build up, it was just like, is this really where the sport is now? Like, is this, and it's almost like, at what point does someone pull the plug on it and go, like, this is all just a bit much? Like, can we settle down a second, rethink this? And obviously, in nobody's opinion, anyone crossed the line in the build-up for this. And in the end, the fight was amazing. So maybe those people and everyone involved is vindicated. So yeah, I'm sure Ryan Garcia is going to be a character for the rest of his career. He's clearly emerged as... I mean, he was always like, you know, the golden boy, the kid on TikTok and the fast hands and all that stuff. But now he's evolved into something far... kind of darker. So I'm interested to see where he goes. And actually, that's what I was going to ask. What do you think happens next for these boys? Because 140-pound division, obviously Ryan Garcia is not a 140-pounder. He's 143.5 pounds. So it's like, okay, is he going to just land? Is he going to make the weight next time? Do you see him as, obviously he didn't win the belt because he's overweight. Do you see him as someone who could win titles in that division against Isaac Cruz or Sobriel Mateus is... the IBF, I think, and WBO is Teofimo Lopez still, I think. So, like, these are big fights. Obviously, a Haney rematch, maybe, and he makes the weight. Like, would you want to see that? He said in the presser he wants to fight Fundora, the guy who just beat Tim Zhu, up at 154 pounds, Sebastian Fundora. So you're like, 154 pounds, and Fundora's massive as well, he's so long. So... anyway, all that being said, what do you think, George? What Like, what's the best move for him now? What do you expect him to do next?
I'm not sure. Like, he's kind of had to, he's still on that trajectory where he has to have hard fights and real fights to become the name, you know. So therefore, you haven't seen him chasing easy knockover jobs, you know. I personally had it a draw, so I'd like to see it again at 140, you know, mm-hmm. and see if there's a difference. I think that's a genuine thing. Like, I had it a draw, but Haney was on the deck three times. Garcia didn't make the weight. I'd like to see it again, providing Garcia's going to make the weight. If not, see him up at 147 at welter, and then you're like, right.
See how you go on.
Let's see how you go there. Yeah. And that might be that, you know, obviously all the welterweights now, are they with the PBC?
Yeah, but essentially, I'm not sure Terence Crawford's actually contractually what the crack is with him. I saw Turkey Al Sheikh posted a picture.
Did you? Is he all right? You talked to him?
He posted a picture of Terence Crawford, and he was photographed with Jaron Boots Ennis, the IBF champion. So maybe we're going to see Crawford Ennis in Saudi. So, like, yeah.
I might see him at Wembley deck.
Wouldn't have thought so. I think we'll get that. I think that Wembley fight is going to be the winner of Hergovic and Dubois against Anthony Joshua, but that's for another pod. But you're right. Welterweight is serious business. They're already, I don't see him mixing with Crawford or anyone like that, right, in his first welterweight fight, say. Although last night was his first welterweight fight, actually. But there's been some Conor Benn chat, of course, today, back and forth. Conor Benn's even got a picture, you know, done one of the pictures with him on, like, standing over him, one of those jobs. Conor Benn, Ryan Garcia, just sounds like money, doesn't it? Where, regardless of Conor Benn's situation, that sounds like the sort of fight that would cross over.
Yeah, it's a big fight.
Isn't it?
It's a big fight. I'd like to see that fight. Just, and if they make that fight, just make it simple for everyone. No weigh in, no drug testing, and then it happens, doesn't it, Dec?
Then it definitely happens. That was a fight of just speed and power and almost like recklessness and madness, and it's just pure excitement all over the shop. So, yeah, maybe
Garcia goes over. So if Ben lands on him, he's going over. How many times can Garcia land on Ben before that shot lands?
Yeah.
Who knows? It's a great fight.
It's a great fight.
It's a fan-friendly fight.
Yeah. Haney, I think you answered it there. Rematch is best for him because he's still the champ, isn't he? I mean, it's the worst way to be the champion is to...
Well, would they strip him for losing?
I think he might just retain the belt. I'm not sure. I'm not exactly sure.
He'll definitely fight for it next. Probably, what'll happen is it'll be vacant and then he's just on a shitter split.
I think it's unfair if he's lost against a heavy man and then lost his belt. He ain't lost to a 140-pounder. The argument is, should he have taken the fight in the first place? Should he have walked away? He gets paid. He weighed in. He's getting paid, but he took the money.
No, he won't get paid, though.
No, that would never actually happen. So,
no.
But he did get an extra 1.5 mil. So, like, it was a bad night for him. But you know, fucking hell, there's worse things happening in the world, isn't there? And hopefully, look, I reckon we'll probably get the rematch. But anyway, right, we'll have a breather there, George, because that was all in America. Got a couple of bits, in business in London, East and West to dissect after the break. See you in a sec.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
And we're back in the old smog.
The old smoke landed.
Not far from your ends.
No.
Well, not like where you're from. We're not talking about Swindon Massive. No. We're talking about
where I live.
We're talking about the East End of London. Your call, Bethnal Green, Frank Warren show, and it is Sam Noakes stepping up to fight for the European vacant European title against Mendy. Well, I can never remember his first name. Is it Ivan?
Ivan Mendy, yeah.
Ivan.
Ivan Stevan Mendy.
It could be Wendy. It could be Wendy. Ivan Mendy.
It's Ivan. Big up Ivan Mendy. Anyway, we'll all know about Ivan Mendy from the Luke Campbell days.
Yes.
I mean, he's 38. He's had a shitload of fights. Mm. He's been like a wonderful servant and one of those like gatekeepers, harsh, but like one of those people who's around and everyone, he's boxed everyone. He's had a few losses, but he's always in a hard fight. Mm. Interesting fact, Sam Noakes' first ever live show that he attended as a 20-year-old, he paid 25 quid for some hospitality tickets off a mate for the Joshua Povetkin card at Wembley. And the fight he was there to watch in particular was Luke Campbell against Ivan Mendy rematch, because Sam Noakes had been sparring Luke Campbell in the build-up. He was an amateur at the time. Mm. So that was his first fight. And then, what, fast forward 6 years or whatever it is, and he's fighting Ivan Mendy for that vacant European lightweight title. Sam Noakes, of course, famous for being 13-0, 13 knockouts. Nobody can handle him. But Ivan Mendy did, to an extent, or at least he didn't get stopped. But Sam Noakes won every round. He won a shutout. Best performance, best win, best name on his record. Mm. 14-0 now with 13 knockouts, Sam Noakes. What do we think about Sam Noakes, George? Do we think we're looking at a... He's obviously very exciting. Mm. He's European champion now. So, like, you know, he's there. He's only one step off the big stuff. Mm-hmm. And when you look at lightweight, do you think you got Shakur Stevenson, you got Gervonta Davis, et cetera, et cetera. Do you think Sam Noakes is capable of becoming one of our world champions, one of Great Britain's world champions? Has he got it in the locker to go at least compete up there? Mm.
No, I like Sam Noakes. I've seen a bit of star quality in him. What he does really well is he starts his research on his fighters, his opponents, really early.
So 6 years early.
6 years he's been studying Mendy, and it's paying off for him. The 12 rounds would have served him well. Maybe that could have been a weird pressure if he just kept chinning everyone with 100% record. And he gets to some point and he's like, oh, I've got to knock him out. And he might come unstuck. But, you know, there's Shakur Stevens and Tank Davis. They're pound-for-pound guys, aren't they, at the moment? Mm. So it's unfair to sort of try and fit him into that mix, see how he would get on. But, you know, looked after by Francis Warren, promoted by Frank Warren, two guys who know how to develop fighters. And they've got, you know, Francis Warren's got a great stable of fighters. You know, he was on the pod, wasn't he? Mm-hmm. Probably, it doesn't feel like that long ago. It probably was a long old time ago now. I'm talking about Sam Noakes, talking about it, Moses Atalma and other great prospects he's got. So, I think it's one of them gatekeeper fights that you need at this stage. I mean, Frank Warren did the same for me. He brought over Glenn Coffey Johnson, you know, after I'd had won the British title, before challenging for a world title, fighting that gatekeeper type opponent who been in there with most. You can't, it's, they're hard to get rid of. You learn loads while you're there, and also shutout performance. You obviously didn't get the knockout, but he didn't do much, he didn't do anything wrong. So I rate Noakes. He's definitely one to keep an eye on. I wouldn't back against him going all the way.
No. He was saying, I interviewed him at the press conference, he was saying he's hoping to fight the winner of, I think it's Denis Baranchyk. He's boxing,
yep,
can't remember who.
Baranchyk.
He's in a big fight. Yeah. Baranchyk, yeah, he's boxing someone in it. Maybe for the vacant WBO, and he's hoping to get the winner of that. Noakes is highly ranked with the WBO. Very common Frank Warren strategy, that is the WBO route, so he might get that. And if he does that, he gets to avoid Davis and he gets to avoid Stevenson, so maybe he can get a world title fight without fighting them. But he's getting better. He's one of these guys who's like, he admitted, he said, when you watch him, you think, well, he's not, you know, he's not great. And it's like, well, then you get in there and you're like, he really is. Mm. I remember Francis Warren on our pod saying that he reminded him of that foam, you know, like the expanding foam, because he's just all over you. And it's like the lava. He's like Better Beav. He's the lava. You can't, you think it's like, oh, he's basic, I could box around him. This is his words, by the way. Noakes said that people look at me and think I'm basic, I box around him, and then you're in there and it's different and I'm hitting you and you can't do it. So he has all the tools. He's great character, star quality, and you can't stop winning. So big up Sam Noakes. And he's 14-0, done the business against Ivan Mendy. And I agree. I think the points win, I think that's a really good 12-round victory for him. And it's all just, yeah. Now it's not, he just knocks everyone out. It's like, no, he can do the business over the distance against, it's like an experienced opponent. So that was East London. But George, in West London on Tuesday, last Tuesday.
Hold the phone. What went on in West London?
Well, me and you, and your wife actually,
yes,
went to the Shepherd's Bush Empire.
Yeah.
The world famous Shepherd's Bush Empire, where, George, 1 month today, the 22nd of May, the live show will go down. So we went there to scope it out, to work out, you know, everything we need to put on the finest live show this country has ever seen. And we did just that, didn't we? We went in there, we looked at the old place, what a venue it is. It's going to be amazing on the night. And it was really got the juices flowing.
Yes, I'm super excited. I don't think I've ever played such an iconic venue, something that looks as cool as this.
Wembley Stadium?
Yeah, this is on par.
It's better. It's better if you ask me.
Better.
Yeah.
It's better to be at the...
You're definitely closer to the action at the Shepherd's Bush Empire. It's not a bad seat in the house.
Well, you will be, you know, the vast majority will be part of the action. You know,
Yeah, they will.
You won't be able to avoid it, you know.
Because we're thinking, well, obviously there's Q&A to get involved in. There's, without giving everything away, but there's going to be a punch machine, George. So I want to see ECM's. See who's the hardest hitting ECM. Yeah.
And like, Tom, when you say punch machine, not like Froch.
No, he is a punch machine.
Yeah, just go and whack him. But no, we got like
a scored one.
Whack him. Yeah.
A whack him. Oh, mate, it was very exciting to be there. And just imagine looking out and seeing Andy McLean and all the rest of them.
Andy McLean, we'll put him on the door. He's double hard, isn't he?
Double hard.
Callum Jones, he's coming. He's looking forward
to
it.
He's coming?
Yep.
He's a legend of the pod.
Legend of the pod. Callum Jones is going to be there. Perry Nagpal. Now, Perry Nagpal?
He's been a long-term listener.
Long-term listener. Certainly an ECM. I've met him at many engagements. He's a big boxing fan. So, no, it's going to be an amazing night. Deck. Anyone else you can remember?
Who's coming.
Go on then.
Yeah. Bradley Axe, the Axe Man. Literally, the Axe Man cometh. So, he's making his... professional debut this weekend, as we mentioned before, in Brentwood, where you'll be. But he sent me a picture. He's got a ticket for the live show, so he'll be 1-0 cruising around Shepherd's Bush Empire. I don't know, you won't get a belt after his debut, but if he did, he'd probably wear it down the empire. But the Axe Man cometh to the live show. Yeah. So it's going to be...
If he wins, we should get him a trophy or something.
Let's get him a trophy. That's a great shout. If he wins, well, maybe a cake or something. Yeah, well, he will be... Bradley, if you're listening... Your pressure's on because you're going to get a prize if you win. If you don't win your debut, there'll be nothing for you on the night. But if you do, you're getting a prize. We do put pressure on this pod, George, because also Wednesday's guest, this Wednesday, is a very special guest. And he boxed very recently and we got him in days after. And he said to us, if he had lost the fight, he knew that if he'd lost the fight, he probably wouldn't have got on the pod. So all the pressure was on because of the pod appearance, and that was inspired him to the victory. Do you want to tell us who it is?
Well, I know who you're talking about now. I realise who Wednesday's guest is. It is son of a legend, ECM. It's William Croller. 5-0 William Croller. Who's famous dad / brother, Anthony Croller, trainer, obviously, friend of the show, ECM guest, now trainer of the younger sibling, 12 years junior. So it's an insult that people got that confused. Deck, you in particular, who wrote it.
It was my publication. But really interesting this one because, 12-year age gap, but he is his brother. He's watched him accomplish everything. He's watched him become one of the biggest names in Manchester and British boxing at the time. And now it's his turn. And so that's a weird... You don't get that much often in boxing. You have father-son. We've had father-son. You do get some brother sort of parents, but not really this dynamic. So I'm really looking forward to it. I want to see if he's as nice as Anthony as well. I hear he's not. No. And he won his fight, so he's allowed on.
Yeah, he is
so,
allowed on. And Dick,
so that's
something he shares with you.
Go on.
It'll be a spoiler for the club. Massive, massive James DeGale fan.
He loves James DeGale.
Loves him.
He loves James DeGale. In fact, I won't put the quote up, but basically, we'll see what he said. Because in the boxing news, in his 60 seconds with William Crawler, he basically said he was a massive DeGale fan. He really didn't like you. And he cried when you beat him, when you beat the girl back in the day. So we'll get into that. That should be an interesting little vignette on the pod. And if you want to make sure that you don't miss that, you obviously just got to press the follow button in your podcast app right about now.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It's a great thing. Open that app. Hit the notification button. Do not miss a thing. While you're there, hit the 5-star review and drop like some poetic sort of brilliance on how amazing this podcast is and how it changes your life for a couple of times a week at least. So do that for us. Get in touch with us as well on the socials. We love all that malarkey. Our socials, Deck, what are they again?
At GG Boxing Club, all over the place. We're on Strava, the GGBC Shreds group. We're on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, the lot. What about if you want to send us an email, George? Do we have an inbox these days? Yep. A bit retro.
We've
that.
We've kept the email address alive with ggboxingclub@crowdnetwork.co.uk. So
lovely.
You can email anything you got over there. And buy your tickets to the live show. There's still plenty available. We are so pumped for you all to get there. If you want a link for that, then obviously the link is in the socials, in the sort of the link tree. Or do you know what? You can just Google Groves Frotch GGBC live show, anything like that. You'll see it comes up. And choose your tickets, choose the ones you want.
I would suggest if you want to have a go on the punch machine, if you want to get involved in any of the many escapades that are going on the night, get in the front section of tickets, because once you're in the balconies, it's a little bit more. Like you're gonna have to abseil or something if you want to get on the stage. So if you're up for that, get in the front bit.
If you're really good at Rubik's cubes, sit at the front because you might get called upon. And if you're a bit rusty, then get it back out and get to it because you might not be able to get in unless you solve the Rubik's cube. It's a bit like it's gonna be like an escape room.
Yeah,
that's pretty much what it is.
And there's no escape. And we listen to Carl Froch for 7 hours.
There's 800 of us in this room, and we've got to crack the code, or we don't get out.
I mean,
we're just
going
to keep
like
listening to Froch.
Yeah, just until
someone's put another. Who put a quarter in the back of Froch?
So yeah, tickets available. Go and get them. And see us on Wednesday, George, for William, not Million Dollar, but definitely Crawler.
Yes, William Crawler. What's his name? Do we know?
We're going to have to ask him.
We'll give him one.
Yeah, Will I Am Crawler. I'll see you there, George.
See you there.